Well, blessed be the Lord my God, or actually, it's blessed be the Lord my strength, who teacheth my hands to war and my fingers to fight. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. This is Great Awakenings, where we're joined again by the great Dr. Stephen Pidgeon. Stephen, there's so much to jump into, and we're going to go right into it. There's a video of a transgender person in Houston killing and kissing some guy as he runs him over twice. There's the attempted assassination of the Slovakian prime minister who has survived. There's China and Russia and Putin and Xi getting together. There's the Ukrainian disintegration, and there's video of the Ukrainians training children. I mean, there's a lot going on that seems to be quickening. So welcome with us, and it's good to have you.
Well, thank you, Scott. And before we get started in our discussion, I wanted to kind of preface my remarks tonight talking about the demoralization and the defilement of Western society and what is going on. And it's a very important thing that the average American understand that this is not some emotional thing, and it has nothing to do with human rights. This has everything to do about reducing you to the status of an animal under a communist totalitarian system that, should we allow it to continue, is going to result in most of us being brutally murdered in a gulag. And this is what its history has been, and this is what the history intends for our nation. Now, when you see the idea of the advancement of the six-colored flag, which, as we know, expresses the six sexualities that's found in only one book in the world, the Talmud. Every other book in the world considers there only to be two sexes, male and female, but the Talmud provides for six sexes. This is what the rainbow flag is all about. This flag, to disguise it even further, has become this 10-colored flag. And the 10-colored flag also introduces some really seriously criminal, what would be considered criminal sexualities. I mean, for instance, to say, well, you can't criticize somebody on the basis of sexual orientation prevents you from being able to criminalize, for instance, a serial rapist or somebody who is a rape murderer or somebody who is a child rapist or somebody who mutilates animals and has sex with animals. You can't say anything bad about them because that discriminates against them on the basis of their quote unquote sexual orientation. Well, that flag tends to depict a lot of that. That flag that hung from Biden's White House, he put up that 10-colored flag. That depicts a lot of those, a lot of that activity. And most people don't understand that. But when you see this kind of thing being advancing, for instance, we see a number of things. Number one, women competing with their husbands and treating their husbands as an adversary. Instead of working in a partnership in a marriage, you get into the marriage and then compete with your husband while you're putting him down and, and trying to defeat his masculinity while you claim that you're being oppressed as a woman. So a feminism which opens up a war between the sexes, that's a form of defilement. The promotion of fornication is a form of defilement. The destruction of marriage, which is done by the codification and allowance for adultery. Adultery and fornication were both criminalized in all 50 states in 1970 in this country. And but to get rid of that and to allow for no-fault divorce, open fornication, the allowance of adultery and acceptance of adultery in the society, then opens the door to further defilement and desecration and demoralizing of the nation by bringing in different sexual practices that are described in the DSM-4, the DSM-5, as mental disorders, and the DSM-3. DSM-3 defined homosexuality as a mental disorder. This is the diagnosis manual for a psychologist and psychiatrists. And so these manuals are widely accepted in the American Medical Association, can't be talked about in a courtroom now, because certain people are above criticism. And the very people that are above criticism are the very people that are working diligently all day long, every day, through the mainstream networks, through the mainstream broadcasting, through the mainstream propaganda, through the pop culture. They work every day to further degrade, demoralize, defile, desecrate of the social order. Now, why would they do that? Because ultimately, the goal is for a singular elite, a very small cadre of people, a singular elite to be ruling with absolute totalitarian despotism, where they collect all of the wealth of the society and put it in their own pockets. They're the ones who get to drive the magnificent roads in, Ferraris and Maseratis and Lamborghinis. They're the ones who get to fly the skies in private jets. Everyone else is mere cattle that can be herded onto a cattle car, for instance, and shipped off to a FEMA camp or a gulag with no winter clothing, with no food, with no toilets, with nothing, because you're cattle. Just put them in the cattle car and ship them. And those who live, live. The ones that don't, throw them in the ditch because they're just animals. And this kind of animal treatment is what they have in mind for America and Canada. These two countries are the most exposed, although most of Europe is also being exposed to the same kind of ideology. But whenever you see this promotion of these kinds of agendas, now the people in Africa are readily seeing this. Get this stuff out of here. You're not bringing that in here. You're not bringing it in here because the reason you're bringing it in here is not to protect some minority homosexual population. You're bringing it in here to destroy marriage. You're bringing it in here to destroy families. You're bringing it in here to destroy the relationship between parent and child. You're bringing it in here to destroy the foundation of the social structure. You're bringing it in here to destroy our traditions so that you can impose your radical ideology, which your radical ideology is self-confessed, you being served by animals who are the rest of humanity, because somehow you're not an animal. You're above, all animals equal, but some animals are more equal than others.
And you're bringing it in to offend God and bring a curse from God upon the land and man, and that's of your father, the devil. You're bringing it in to destroy, to rob, to kill, and to destroy.
Exactly. And so this has been the motivation behind this movement since the Komsomol was created, right? The International Communist Order was created, and it was created to whatever was effective in the Soviet Union, which resulted in the death of 66 million Orthodox people in Russia. They wanted to bring that and export that worldwide. Now, that movement had a big pushback in the United States, Eugene McCarthy and so on, in the 1950s. That was, we're not going to allow that. We're not going to allow that. But that door caved in during the counter-revolution, the Cultural Revolution of 1968, where we had the quote-unquote counterculture rise up, which, by the way, was all CIA-funded and CIA-orchestrated. Whether you're talking about the rock and roll bands that came out of Laurel Canyon under the tutelage of Frank Zappa, including, Jim Morrison and the Doors and the Mamas and the Papas and the Beach Boys, and Charles Manson was in that group, Three Dog Night was there. All these groups, Eric Burdon and the Animals, that were in Laurel Canyon,
Yes.
these groups were being promoted to promote the counterculture, a counterculture that was at war with traditions of America, that
Yes.
was in favor of free love, quote unquote. And by the way, the pedophilia inside that community was rampant, by the way. And it immediately spread from Laurel Canyon to Haight-Ashbury in San Francisco. And the same doors kind of opened with the counterculture. And even though they were preaching things like peace and love, what was going on in the background was not peace and love. And you had peace and love for 2 years, 67 and 68. By the time you get to 69, all of a sudden you're getting murders and you're getting rapes. And you're getting burglary and arsony and robbery. All of these things become prevalent. And then the next thing you know, the 70s is replete with a massive crime wave that includes, of course, the Zodiac Killer in San Francisco. Now, with that happening, you can see that this counterculture then opens the door. And in the middle of this is Hugh Hefner Playboy Foundation, which in 1959 begins lobbying in all 50 states to overturn the divorce laws. The divorce laws in most of the 50 states used to allow divorce for only the three A's: adultery, abandonment, or abuse. And in some states, you had to prove that in front of the legislature. In North Carolina, you had to prove your divorce in front of the legislature. Most of the other states would allow it in front of a divorce court. But you had to prove these things in order to destroy the property interest in a marriage, which is the greatest property interest anyone can own in their life. Is their property interest in their marriage? Here you're making a 50-year investment commitment with an expectation that that property is going to be protected by a marital vow. And Hugh Hefner wanted that destroyed. Now you have a situation where all 50 states have no-fault divorce and no due process allowed. Even though you're having your fundamental property interest taken away, you don't get rules of evidence. You don't get a jury trial. You don't get anything. You get some flea-bag, half-wit judge who's barely out of law school and barely has two brain cells functioning at the same time, making a decision about what's going to happen to you and your children that you may never see again for the rest of your life because this half-wit decided that she was riding a feminist witch's broom when she made the decision. Maybe she was drunk at the time or stoned at the time, but what difference does it make?
Yeah.
So this environment opened up, Alfred Kinsey, sex pervert, in the Kinsey Report in 1948. Hugh Hefner becomes his pamphleteer in 1953. 1959, the Playboy Foundation begins lobbying for no-fault divorce. 2012, the last state, New York, capitulates to no-fault divorce. And now what do we have? As soon as New York capitulates, well, then let's have same-sex marriage. For that matter, let's have polygamous marriage. Let's have bigamous marriage. Let's have man marrying animals. Let's have people marrying buildings and computers and robots. And let's have people, whatever fries your bacon, right? Well, now in every environment where these same-sex marriages have been passed, people in their 20s no longer get married.
No.
The marriage rate plummets in the 20s, and they only start thinking about getting married in the 30s. The birth rate, of course, plummets right off the floor. I mean, to the point that in Italy, for instance, the last summer, there wasn't a single birth in Italy for 3 months, not one child born for 3 months. And so now the Pope, right, who's not Catholic, the Pope comes out and says, hey, maybe you ought to have some kids. It's a good idea to have kids. Well, you know what? Day late and a dollar short there, Jorge. Mm-hmm. The fact is that all of Europe is in a demographic collapse. Recently, a gal in the Netherlands came out and started expressing the statistics, right? 70% of Belgium, 70% of Brussels is non-Belgian. 56% of The Hague and Amsterdam are non-Dutch. 60% of London are not English.
The head of the Scottish National Parliament is an Arab or Muslim or Indian or all of the above.
Yeah. So here you go. You have a foreign national as the mayor. You have you've got Rishi Sunak running the country, and then you have a Muslim running Scotland. And so and I'm not trying to give them grief. I'm just trying to say when you look at this doctrine of replacement population.
Yes.
Is something that some harebrained, elitist, brain dead, overly rich, overly pampered, e-bag has decided in his whimsical fancy that Germans need to be replaced and that French need to be replaced and that Dutch need to be replaced. Why? Because he fed you birth control and abortion and homosexuality for the last 50 years. So where are your children? Mm-hmm. Where are your children? Oh, we don't want children. We want a BMW. We want to be able to vacation. We don't want children. Well, okay, you don't want children. Now, guess what? Now you don't have a country either because you didn't take care of your own population. Mm-hmm. So demographic collapse, an absolute demographic collapse in Europe, mm-hmm. an absolute demographic collapse in Eastern Europe. Russia is at least now looking at it.
And Russia is spending 95 million or billion rubles. I think it's billion. For having children, marriage and having children.
Of course, their demography was one of the worst in the world. They were losing something like 3 million people a year in their population.
Because of what the United States was trying to do to Russia in the 1990s under Bush and under Clinton, specifically under Clinton, and Putin's using the language we've used, dismembering, attempting to dismember Russia and steal its assets.
Yeah, it's really not about hating Russians. It's about stealing the wealth. That's what it's all about.
Yeah.
Because you have a bunch of greedy, completely moralless, conscienceless people. They have no compunction. They have no shame. They have no morality. They're just in your face, blatant thieves.
Yes.
And murderers and liars.
Yep.
And they don't even pretend about it. They're bribe takers. They're as corrupt as the day is long. And they don't care about anything other than their wallet and maybe the occasional, you know, adrenochrome sex party with some, you know, child perverts and child sacrificers out in the Bohemian Grove there in Northern Cal.
Yes, yes.
It's pathetic. But you have to recognize, and I hope the people that are listening to the show recognize, this is done intentionally. This has nothing to do with human rights. It has everything to do with destroying your family, destroying your morality, destroying your pop culture, destroying your traditions, destroying the fabric of your social order in order to render you an animal.
Yeah.
They're not talking about rendering you some kind of person who stands around going, gee, I've got rights. Now I can go ahead and do this. No, you want to see what they got in mind for you? Go walk the streets of Portland. Go walk the streets of Seattle. That's what they have in mind for every single American. You on the street, strung out on fentanyl, dying with no food. And they care so little about you that in Washington, they passed a law that if somebody dies on the street, you can bury him in your garden and use him for fertilizer.
Wow, that's a new one.
Yeah, right?
Let me play this video to illustrate the point you're making. This just came out, and it was the story of a transgender woman. I didn't know about it until you brought it to my attention. But a transgender woman, man, let's get real clear. This is a man pretending to be a woman who did a murder today, and I think it is prophetic, indicative of what is going to come, because these people, above all others, are having their conscience seared by a hot iron, being given over to a retrobate mind, and becoming demoniac. And there will be no coming back. They are now becoming demoniac. And this murder, this viciousness, this demonism is indicative of what's coming the rest of the society. Let me play this. This is from a newscast today.
Deeply disturbing and shocking video of a murder in broad
daylight. Watch this guy.
The victim, Stephen Anderson, is walking on Woodridge Square Drive to pick up his mail, sources tell us. He turns around at the sound of a screeching car speeding right into him. We're pausing the video right before he gets hit. Car reverses and hits him again, pushing him further into the street. Neighbors are on the phone frantically calling 911. Another neighbor comes out with a pillow. And that's when the suspect, Karen Fisher, identified in court records as a man, but also described as she by police, returns with a knife in hand. The suspect yanks and flips Anderson over, straddles him, and kisses him. We're not showing what happens next because it's too graphic, but that's when police say Fisher stabs him 9 times. She casually walks off as if nothing happened and neighbors just watch. She then tries getting into another car while talking to witnesses. When that's unsuccessful, she leaps over the body and walks away.
It's very disturbing, yeah, because, you know, I have kids here. So our kids could have been out here playing, and imagine that.
20-year-old Karen Fisher is in jail tonight, charged with murdering this 64-year-old. Her bond is set at $2 million.
Broad daylight. It was a busy intersection. It happened right under
our nose. Look at this. These freaking people.
So shocking. I spoke to neighbors that you saw in that video. They are still traumatized by that, as you could have neighbors that you saw in.
No.
Look at this. Look at this dude just sitting there with his freaking cell phone out. This dude right here.
Just truly so shocking. I spoke to neighbors that you saw in that video. They are still traumatized by that.
All right, Steve. So we have a transgender black man pretending to be a woman run over this guy. And he looked like he was kind of white. He didn't look like black guy. Maybe I was wrong. Run him over. Backed up over him again, crushing him under the car. Then walks over, straddles him, kisses him, and then stabs him 9 times. while the rest of these dull, over-vaccinated beta male cowards just kind of walk around with their Apple phones videotaping it, saying, "I'm traumatized." No one hit the dude in the back of the head with a baseball bat. No one shot. No one took a knife and stabbed him right in the eye. They allowed this to happen. I'll put it to you. What does this mean, and what does it pretend for what's coming?
Well, it you know, once again, you know, you see the elements of destruction in the social order. That's what you're seeing, because the brainwashing is so complete that people, you know, it's a you know, there was a Russian defector who did a videotape, I think in 82. And he talked about the demoralization and how long it takes. And there's a 50-year process, there's a 10-year process, there's a 5-year process, and then there's a 6-week process. And we're closing in on the 6-week process now, because people do not believe that they can respond, that they can come back from this. It's inevitable. You're going to the gulag. It's inevitable. It's all over. There's nothing left. You don't have any ability to fight back. You don't have any right to fight back. You don't have any means to fight back. You don't have any way to fight back. You're just toast. That's the way it is. The society is cooked. And this is the kind of behavior we see. There's no offense against the social order when this happens. See, this is one guy who got in trouble with some, trans person. And that's that. There's nothing to talk about. That's not an offense against the society. It's not an offense against me. It doesn't have anything to do with me. That's just one person. And it's just, you know, as they used to say in Germany, you know, first they came to the gypsies, you know, and nobody said anything because they weren't gypsy. Then they came to the Catholics. Nobody said anything because they weren't Catholics. And they came for the Jews. Nobody said anything because they weren't Jews. Well, nobody said anything. And nobody's going to say anything about this situation. I didn't get involved with that trans person. That guy did. So he's dead. That's the way it goes. So all I'm going to do is videotape it, because my video camera is the ultimate authority. See, my video camera is the ultimate authority. That's the ultimate adjudicator. What goes on Facebook? What goes on Twitter? What goes on Instagram? That's the ultimate authority in life. There is no other authority. Although I got to tell you, I love that one of the scenes out of Yellowstone where what's her name, Dutton, is in the store with this rowdy kid that she's trying to adopt, and he's being a super brat. And so she just tells me, you know, that's it. You know, you're losing your phone and I'm not getting you anything. Get out of here. And there's a woman who's got her camera out. She's going, "I've got this on tape." And Beth Dutton takes her iPhone away from her, slams it down on the floor, jams her high heel into it, caves in the whole phone and says, "You want trouble? You want trouble?" "And I don't want any trouble." "You wanted trouble the instant you pointed your stupid phone at me."
"Yeah.
The instant you thought that was going to be the authority." Well, you know, here we are. So people are so worried about AI taking over. They're so worried about being in a digital surveillance society. And here they are participating 100%, 100% in the digital world. That they're zombies to it. They're, you know, they're owned by it. Everything is adjudicated right there in the cell phone, right?
See, and let me say the one thing from a profile perspective, here's what's different too, today versus 30 years ago. 40 years ago, 50 years ago. The transgender, homosexual, schizophrenic, mentally problematic person today versus the transvestite, you know, the Hannibal Lecter type that you go back to the movie Silence of the Lambs kind of thing. In the old days, when a man dressed up as a woman, there was a psychic break. There was a problem. And they knew. You know, there was a schizophrenia. There was a split personality. There was a sense of there's something seriously wrong with me. I need help to an extent, but they also, you know, numbed it with pain and stuff. But they knew that there was something out of order. Today, the transgender sees the out of order is with everyone else. I'm okay. I'm all right. Whatever I want to do goes. Everybody, you know, if I want to have sex with a dog or a lamb or a man or a woman or all at the same time, it's something wrong with you, and you need to be annihilated as the virus in the body politic of madness. You're this, common sense, but it's not common sense. It's, you know, you reflect God, morality, and things that are old fashioned and that are. We're trying to purge and vomit out of our demoniac public policy. So they see there's something wrong with traditional society, and they're sort of the belligerents, the they've got a license to kill those who still maintain or reflect traditional values. Whereas in the old days, there was a sense of there's something wrong with me, there's something wrong, and I need counseling, or if they had that courage. That's something that I think is only it's going to commit these people to more and more violence, more and more viciousness, the insanity. I mean, this is right out of a horror story. The insanity of running a guy over, I mean, hitting him, he was going at what, 50 miles an hour?
Yeah, I think that's about close, yeah.
I mean, 50 miles an hour, you hit a guy, you've okay, broken his legs, broken his back probably. Then you reverse over him, crush his back, crush his ribs. So he's immobile, unconscious, essentially. And then this black transvestite blonde wig wearing demon, straddles him, kisses him and stabs him. Talk about horror. But anyway, I'll hand it back to you. It just seems like we have now been turned over to evil, and the Lord is saying, this is what you get. Every nation that forgets God shall be turned into hell, and welcome to seeing what hell is populated by.
Yeah, well, it really is a level of defilement and demoralization and deconsciousness, if you will, that has taken
Yes.
place in the nation, that has structured the nation downward, 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 downward. And as we fall away entirely from all the traditions we knew, everything that we understood, what it meant to be, like where's a mom apple pie and baseball? Where's that in all this, right? Where's the sock hop? Where are these things, right? They're all gone. They're all missing, right? Instead, we have this kind of stuff. And this stuff has scaled everyone down, and the demoralization is very close. We're very close to that final threshold event where we're pushed into collectivism. And it's pushed into a collective thought, collectivism, that is really an animal collectivism. In other words, when the dollar collapses, the elite are still under the impression that they're going to have enough resources to be able to govern. And to govern from a totalitarian diktat. So they're going to be coming in and saying, okay, we're going to kill everybody who disagrees with us. And if they've got 50 guys with 50 calibers, they just go out and start mowing down people.
Yes,
And they
yes.
start doing what was done in the Soviet Union, which is where you have these black Mariahs, which are these black trucks that would show up at people's apartments at 3 o'clock in the morning. And then you got four guys at the door, they cave in your front door, and then you're pulled out of bed and you're taken away and put in a black truck. Put on a train and sent out to Siberia with, it doesn't make any difference what you're wearing. It doesn't make any difference how cold it is. Too bad. The fact that you weren't dressed is your problem, not our problem. And they put you in the boxcar, which is really just such a shabby boxcar, and you wouldn't even put cattle in there. And you're jammed in with so many people. Like, you, if you read Alexander Solzhenitsyn, The Gulag Archipelago, he talks about when he got arrested, and he was arrested, and they came in and said, well, what's my charge? You saw Germany. Right? You saw Germany, which means you can't buy Stalin's lie that the Soviet Union has better stuff than Germany, because obviously Germany is a lot better condition than Russia. So, come back and you saw Germany, you have to go to the Gulag now. But we want you to admit to the following crimes against the state. You talked German to somebody, you shared ideas with someone. Anyway, they take him and they lock him up in a room. And the room they lock him up in is a closet in somebody's bedroom. It's a closet, and it's got a 200-watt bulb suspended from the ceiling that is never shut off. And there's already four guys in there. So they figure out how they can sleep on the floor. By sleeping on their side, they can sleep on the floor, all four of them. 2 days later, they put three more people in there. The end of the week, they put four more people in there. So there are 11 guys in this little tiny closet, and there's no relief. Right? There's no going to the bathroom. There's no nothing. And you can't lay down. You can't sit down. You can't nothing in this closet where the 200 watt bulb doesn't go off. And why could they do that? Because you're an animal. You're not a human being. You're an animal. You're cattle. And you could be shipped out on a cattle car and treated like your cattle as you're herded up in a FEMA camp and slaughtered. You freeze to death, you die, you starve to death. What do we care? Makes no difference to us. Why waste a bullet if you're gonna freeze to death? Why would I waste a bullet on you? Just get out of the car. It's 40 below zero. You've got dress shoes on and a white shirt. Get out of the car. Get off the train.
I saw it up close and personal. I saw it when the Obama administration threw me in jail, saying I filled out a housing form wrong. No, it was because of the Shell Game report, which reported the terrorist financing that the Obama, Biden, Hillary Clinton, State Department, and administration were doing with Union Bank of Switzerland, throwing me in jail. But when I was thrown in jail, it was the Gulag Americano. But I saw a former Marine in his late 60s, 70s, having his leg amputated because they had neglected in prison his tooth getting so infected, it infected his knee, and they had to cut it off. I saw another guy who was a multi-millionaire, who was a former Navy guy, die in his bed, and they wheeled him out, pretending that he didn't die in his bed, wheeled him out, dropped him on the cement, and pretended to give him CPR so they wouldn't be responsible. I saw another guy given wrong prescription medicine by a Dr. Kevorkian, murdering Central American assistant medical guy. His liver got destroyed. They had to wheel him out on a gurney. I saw lots of horror, men breaking their legs and forever walking with a limp, because they were terrified of going to this doctor or anything else. This was happening in American prisons. I
Yeah.
also, when I was in Beirut, saw the Talmudist Jews and what they did to the Muslims in Beirut. Exactly what you're saying, putting 20 of them in a tiny little cell with a little coffee can to piss and shit in. This is the reality of the wicked. That rule over America in the police state of America, the Bureau of Prisons, and in the IDF, and they come together, and the IDF is now training the American police to think that they can go throughout American universities and colleges and abuse students and college professors as Guerrillian thugs. I don't know how long we're gonna let that happen before a violent revolution erupts in this country, but
Well, the university system is about dead in this country anyway, because universities don't teach anymore. They brainwash.
That's
They're
right.
not institutions of learning. They're completely compromised. They're completely demoralized. They're completely delegitimized. And yet the tuition is 100,000 a year. If
Yes.
you've got 100,000 and you want to drop it on your child, buy him a house. Okay? Buy him a house. Buy him a house. If you the money you're going to spend on some of these colleges, you'd be much better off buying a house for them, paying it off, and
That's
giving
right.
them a place to live where even if they are where, like one guy said, he was really shocked at the look he was getting when he didn't leave a tip for a barista at Starbucks who was bent out of joint that he didn't get a tip when he spent 300,000 bucks on his liberal arts education and ended up at Starbucks. Right? Yeah, well, guess what? You didn't have to get the $300,000 education to end up at Starbucks. And so here you go. And this is the kind of thing that when we see what's going on, the more expensive the university, the more worthless it is. The more worthless
That's
the
right.
institution is.
That's
It's
right.
absolutely worthless. And so the university system is just about dead. And the fact that they're going to come in and terminate free speech, which is going on right now, they're terminating free speech in Europe. It's already been terminated in Canada. Justin Castro, the road apple that didn't fall far from the tree, from his father, the communist dictator of Cuba, is imposing a communist dictatorship in Canada as we speak, and is now criminalizing any hate speech that you ever made.
They kicked out
It's
the conservative alternative to Trudeau, kicked him out of the parliament that one session. Remember the black guy who is supposedly the speaker or whatever they call the parliamentarian ruler. He kicked out of the parliament the conservative representative of the party because he was calling Trudeau a fanatic or something like that.
Yeah. Well, again, the parliament in Canada, the parliament in Britain, the parliament in Australia, the parliament in New Zealand, these are all compromised politicians who have all accepted bribes from, not all, but most have accepted bribes from Big Pharma. And if they haven't accepted it from Big Pharma, they've accepted it from AIPAC. They do not represent anybody other than their campaign donors. And that's that. So it's a group of corrupt people who've sold out their family, sold out their name, sold out their souls, sold out their countries, sold out their traditions, sold out everything they stand for in order to pick up a few dimes from some of these. So they're just the worst kind of whores on earth, really. And this political class is so disgusting. It's a group of corrupted parasites that think that because they can now have a couple million bucks in their bank that they're important. And they're not. They're not important. Go count your money before it goes to zero because you sold out your country because you didn't do anything right. You had no standards. And so because of this, again, you were talking about, you think that the deranged left that we now see, which, I mean, this is the case with the homeless in downtown Seattle. My daughter was walking through downtown Seattle and this fentanyl meth head walks up and slaps her in the back of the head.
Wow.
What do you think you're doing down here? How dare you walk on these streets? These streets belong to us. We're the meth heads. You don't walk down on these streets. What do you think you are? This isn't a normal city. This is a meth head, meth infected, fentanyl run, pit, fecal pit. The whole thing is an open septic tank. And by the way, that septic tank is a clear expression of the Democrats who run that place. That's their soul. Yeah. You want to see what a Democrat's soul looks like? Looks like downtown Seattle. That's what their soul looks like. Covered with feces, covered with urine, covered with fentanyl, covered with dead, covered with diphtheria and tetanus and tuberculosis and bubonic plague and, typhus, all of that. That's what their soul looks like. It's absolutely loaded with that stuff. That's who they are deep down. So when you see that, they think they have the right to do that. Just like this liberal puke there in Slovakia thought he had the right to shoot the prime minister because, after all, the prime minister was standing up for family values. Yeah. The prime minister was standing up for, or the president was standing up for tradition. The prime minister or the president was standing up for Slovakian values and was standing up for a peaceful society, an ordered society, a lawful society. That was totally unacceptable to Mr. Shooter. Mm-hmm. Oh, we can't have any of that. We need to cancel this guy with a handgun. And because we're liberals, we get the right to kill people. We have the right to shoot them because we're liberals. We can kill whoever we want because those people are unacceptable. They're not even human beings. They're less than human beings. They're animals. They're animals deserving slaughter. That's what goes through their mind. Other human beings are less than they are, animals deserving slaughter. They're useless eaters. They're just taken away from natural resources that belong to me. I'm the one that has the right to see the Great Wall of China with nobody walking on it. I'm the one who gets to drive down I-5 in downtown Hollywood with no other cars on there. I'm the one who gets to fly in a private jet with one or two of my close friends with none of that riffraff hanging out in first class, making noise and asking for the stewardess. I deserve to have the skies. I deserve to have no line at the airport. I deserve to have the best cars, the best houses, the best boats, the best food. And the rest of these people are animals, useless eaters, most of whom should be put into a garbage disposal so we can get rid of them so I can enjoy my elite status as a super wealthy snob who's above all the rest of you. Mm-hmm. That's what goes through their mind. That's what goes through their mind. And they're doing, and in order to enact that agenda to achieve that goal, they demoralize, they delegitimize, they desecrate, they defile you. Uh-huh. They defile you with their propaganda, with their nonstop ridiculing of the things that mean something.
Yes.
The things that are valuable in the Western world, the things that built the Western world, they ridicule. They demean, they sneer at, nonstop sneering and putting down.
And they're incompetent. They can't build anything. They've never worked in their life. They've never managed men. They haven't done anything. Well, they need social justice as a major in a piece of shit school like you're describing, and then get out and go to work at Starbucks and then quit their job after a couple weeks and move back with their parents, who they hate and despise, and claw their face and tear at their hair and look for someone to blame. And then they run the find that person and run them over, kiss them, stab them. More of that is coming.
And so this is what we see with the desecration of the West. And so, Scott, if we do not turn this around as a society and say, look, we have as a quest, we have to go after the traditional values that made us a great people.
And ostracize and purge and keep out away from us those who are not, those who are the opposite, those who ridicule and don't want anything to do with traditional values. Fine, turn them over to the reprobate mind, but you will not be in our space. We will not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. You will not come into our town, street, cul-de-sac, court, whatever it is, by pain of death. Because the moment you let them in is the moment someone in your neighborhood gets run over and stabbed 9 times.
Well, that's right. I mean, look, we have a woman up here where I live, and I live in a very conservative area. And this woman has come up out of Anchorage, which is not a conservative area anymore, has come up out of Anchorage and is suing the school district, trying to force them to accept pornography into elementary schools. Okay? That's the nature of the lawsuit. Oh no, you cannot restrict first graders from seeing pornography. Because this woman, who is an adroit pervert, a sexual pervert, thinks that this is an agenda that she has a right to in promoting this in this conservative area, because she sees a conservative area and has to attack it because she is a defiled piece of dried fecal particulate who happens to breathe and who can manage to put together a lawsuit. And so I saw this. I saw this in Whitefish, Montana. Whitefish, Montana, great conservative area. You know, Kalispell, that whole area. As soon as Kalispell was identified as a conservative area, the liberals attacked it, and they attacked it with cockroaches, rats with rabies, you know, fecal-covered badgers, you know, this kind of thing. And they come in. Oh, well, marijuana needs to be legalized. Oh, well, we need to make sure that transgendered people have access to bathrooms. Oh, we need to do this. We need to do that. And they start with the yak, 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 chatter, 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 chatter that is common to parasites, which is basically what most of them are parasites. And they come in with this parasitical language and this liberal language, which is not liberal at all. It's the language of Bolsheviks. It's the language of communists. It's the language of those that are intending on destroying your society, destroying your social culture, destroying your economy, destroying your family, destroying your marriage, destroying your life in order to reduce you to an animal that they can rule over as a super elitist. That's what they're doing. Every word that comes out of their mouth has nothing to do with freedom, has nothing to do with liberty, has nothing to do with human rights. It has to do with destroying you.
You know,
That's what they're trying to do.
I go back to the Old Testament, and I remember those sort of people were the ones that God said, stone them, kill them, put them out from among you. When they left Egypt, the tribes of Israel, they didn't tolerate those people. I don't think there was many of them, but it seems like we're coming to a point where the only solution is Charles Bronson and Death Wish. These people
Well,
have to be killed. Because look
and
at
I don't
what
think
they're
so,
doing,
Scott.
and I'm
I
just
don't think
saying
so.
this is how things are going to evolve.
I don't think so. I don't think that what we have to do is kill these people at all. I think Yah's Yah, vengeance belongs to me, says Yah. And his vengeance is already here present. And my hope is that these people who are of this mindset will wake up and repent and turn from this mindset and address their ways. You know, these grandmothers that think, oh, well, I'm just a loving grandmother who wants to see my 5-year-old grandson dress up like a girl. I just think that's going to be really good for him, the social culture. And then she goes to war with her own daughter to try to take the child away because her daughter is resisting her converting her grandson into a transgendered person, right? Goes to war. The school system goes to war. Oh, you told your kid they can't be transgendered. We're taking your child away from you. You told your child that he can't consent to having his testicles surgically removed. We're taking your child away from you. Right? These people need to repent, because I can tell you, anybody who is participating at that level of thing, in those kinds of things, they're going to find themselves, you know, you ask yourself the question, gee, somebody, you know, like there's a great story in scripture about Ahab, right? Ahab, he wants to go to war against the Arameans. And so he goes to Jehoshaphat. He says, hey, let's go to war. So Jehoshaphat comes up from the southern kingdom and says, all right, let's do it. I'm ready. And Ahab says, okay, great. You bring your army, I'll bring my army. So they go out to the battlefield, and he has Jehoshaphat sitting there in, you know, all bronze armor on a bronze chariot, you know, with his guards all surrounding him, while Ahab dresses up in, you know, a leather outfit common to the troops. You know, and Jehoshaphat's looking around like, gee, why am I sticking out like a sore thumb, right? Because he was dumb. He was naive, right? He was dumb, standing out there in his gold suit. And anyway, they get out and they're getting ready to fight, and they decide, you know, let's just give it up. Let's call it. The Arameans decided to call it. So they turn around and they're leaving. And as they're walking away from the battle, one guy turns around and goes and launches an arrow. And it goes right between the suit that Ahab is wearing and kills him. And you might ask yourself the question, why would that happen? Why is only one person targeted to die when a bomb goes off in a neighborhood, or a building collapses because of an earthquake, or a garbage truck loses control and goes over a curb and kills somebody? Because that one person was guilty before Yah, because of the things they did to their grandson, the things they did to their granddaughter, those things that they did that they thought they got away with, and then suddenly they're not existing anymore. And these people that have done this, you know, in many jurisdictions in the country have criminalized, and many nations have criminalized, any kind of transgender surgery for a child. Any kind of transgender surgery, especially Russia, said that ain't going down here in Russia at all, period, not at all. Now, when that law overtakes and becomes the dominant law of the land, then you're going to be in some situation where you're looking to get hired at Walmart because your Social Security ran out, and they're going to go back and say, you know, you were committing criminal acts back then. Wasn't that against the law? Well, it wasn't against the law then. Well, it is now. It's considered the most reprehensible behavior you could have possibly done. What do you have to say for yourself? Right? And, you know, so what I'm saying to people, and a lot of people are seeing it now, the young people in particular are seeing it, because the young people, 80% of them believe that Israel is engaged in genocide in Gaza. Okay, 80% of the young
people. Trump is not doing himself any favors, because he's calling the young people on college campuses sympathizers with Hamas, terrorists, and he's pushing this line of absolute support and servanthood to Israel. Mike Adams did this program the other day. We talked about it yesterday, where Mike Adams is saying Trump is, they've made a deal to put Trump in as president, but America is going to be a fascist, Zionist police state as a result.
Well, that's assuming that they can hold the economy together, which I don't think they can. And I think, you know, I mean, I can see that whether it is Trump coming in, whether Biden gets reelected.
Well, actually, let me correct that. I think they're doing that, Stephen, because the economy is going to give out. And the only way to hold on to a society when there is no economy is through fear, pain of death, the Gulag archipelago, the Soviet Stasi. Yeah, you have a wheelbarrow full of money, dollars, to buy a loaf of bread, but you've got police and others, controlling the people.
It doesn't hold, Scott. It does not hold. The problem with that is that when you go back to the model of when the Soviet Union collapsed, they could pay nothing.
Yes.
They couldn't pay anybody. The only way that the Russian military survived was by seizing the means of production in the country and putting their troops to work making matryoshkas and making samovars, right? Troops were doing this.
Yeah.
Because that's the only way they could eat, because there was no money, zero, no money. And when this economy goes to zero, these fascists, and you have to keep in mind that this fascism that we're seeing coming is coming from the house of Esau, okay? Yeah. This is an age-old war between Esau and Jacob, or Esau and Yaakov. This is an age-old war. And Esau has never prevailed over Yaakov, nor will Esau ever prevail over Yaakov. And so you can come in and you can kill, you know, let's talk about the success of the communists in Russia that killed 66 million Orthodox. As a result of your weeding that garden, Russia is now the strongest nation on earth and is a prolific Orthodox nation.
Yeah.
And you are out of power, Vicky Nuland.
Yeah.
You're out of power. Yeah. You lost. Okay. And you're getting ready to lose in Ukraine and you're getting ready to lose in Israel. So before you decide to make the United States a Talmudic fascist nation, a red doper diaper controlled nation, before you decide you want to do that, you might want to concentrate on winning the battle in your own nation, which is not going well right now. You know, I saw a recent footage of portions of Tel Aviv burning to the ground.
Really?
I saw, Kiryat Shemona, which is a village I visited. Kiryat Shemona is north of the Galilee, and it's to the northeast of Safed on the way up to the city of Dan. Hezbollah torched the whole place. Because there's nothing that they have exhausted Israel's ability to strike down these drones and these low-range drones and so on and so forth. The Iron Dome is exhausted. The Patriot systems are exhausted. And so you're beginning to see Israeli targets being hard hit by Hezbollah. And they're also taking many, many casualties in the Gaza Strip as a result of Hamas regrouping. They made a major tactical error, in my opinion, in taking the Philadelphia corridor on the south side of Gaza, because it put Israeli tanks on the Egyptian border, which violated the 1979 Camp David Accords. Uh-huh. And as a result, Egypt has voted to pull out of the Camp David Accords.
Uh-huh. This and join the International Court of Justice.
They joined the ICJ case, the South African ICJ case against Israel for acts of genocide. These are just facts. They're not discrimination or anti-Semitic speech. They're facts.
And they're not going to go away. They are going to be prosecuted. The Russians are going to do the same thing. Every American politician, every American military, every American media person will be named in indictments by the Russians for crimes against humanity. Nebezny will bring it up in the UN and elsewhere. The Russians are going to prosecute everyone for everything that was done in Ukraine against Russia and the Russian citizenry.
To the victor go the spoils. And in this case, the victor is going to be post-battle adjudications. That's what's going to happen. And these post-battle adjudications are going to be such that, for instance, the kind of tactical blunder has been made in Poland. Poland putting Polish troops, advanced Polish troops into advanced Ukrainian positions.
Yep.
This was a big error. And now Poland is going, this Donald Tusk. What we're going to do is we're going to pull back. We're going to keep our Patriot systems to ourselves, and we're going to try to keep some ammunition to ourselves. The Poles are the first to recognize that if you don't keep something there, then you got nothing, because Ukraine has mismanaged it all. Now, a lot of people want to talk about the bravery of Ukrainian troops. Okay, talk about the bravery of the Ukrainian troops. Doesn't mean that there's not 700,000 dead. 1,400 troops were lost in a single day yesterday. 1,400 troops in a single day. Because they have nothing to defend themselves with. They have no air cover. They have no artillery cover. They've got some AR-15s, and they're facing, a very active, very well-supplied, very tactically superior army in the Russians.
That so produces 900% more missiles and bombs and stuff than they did before. Overwhelming.
Yeah. Overwhelming.
Killing and these guys.
They just received 6,152 millimeter rounds from North Korea. 6 million, right? That's a lot of ammo, right, coming at you. So what you see is you see the advancement in Ukraine taking place against Kharkov. And this advancement against Kharkov is quite interesting, because as it advances against Kharkov, the Ukrainians are forced to call up everybody. They're calling up reserves out of Kyiv. They're calling up brigades out of Zaporozhye. They're calling them up out of Kherson. They're calling up their defensive positions out of Dmitropavlovsk, and they're moving them all up to Kharkov, which supposedly had defensive positions built, but it turned out those defensive positions were actually mansions for Ukrainian oligarchs in Mexico. So they're going to be difficult to defend in Kharkov. So anyway, and the Ukrainian troops are like, what? We got no commanders. And the only thing that we have here is we got a bunch of guys out of Kiev that shoot us in the back if we try to make a move in the wrong direction.
And when we try and kidnap people off the street to throw them into the military, The entire city block comes out and fights against us.
Yeah. And those guys that are doing those press gang stuffs, those guys will all be quietly fragged in Kyiv
Yes.
when this thing is over. They'll
Yep.
be, they think they can run away. You think the people don't know that the guy that put them in the press gang? You think their wives don't remember? You know, you think they don't remember? They remember. You're going to end up getting shanked in your sleep, you know, some night after this war is over. So
Yep.
don't think that because you weren't on the front lines that you're not, that it's not coming to you. It's coming to you. And so anyway, the Zelensky regime is has already fled. They're talking about Lviv as a temporary capital, which means that they're retreating from Kyiv because they've got no forces to defend Kyiv because they're all at Kharkov. So once the Russians win the Battle of Kharkov, it's decisive. Then the Russian troops can just go and sweep across Ukraine and take Kyiv and take Odessa and connect up with the Transnistria. And this is going to leave Ukraine a very small rump state in the ancient section called Galicia. And that's going to be it. And then
And
the Russians might say, well, you know, you do whatever you want there.
do you think Putin, before he went into Ukraine in 2022, went and talked to the Chinese? I think the Olympics were just happening in the winter. And now Putin has gone back over to China the day of this attempted assassination of the Slovakian president, vice pre or prime minister. Do you think Russia, Putin's gone over to say to Xi exactly what you said? All right, Act Three is about to start. Here's what we're going to do. We're just letting you know. And, Russia is now setting itself up for this massive avalanche of overwhelming force, where they're really going to wrap this up pretty tight and pretty quick.
Oh, I don't even think it's going to be overwhelming force. I just think there's nothing left of Ukraine to withstand it. I
Well,
mean,
let me
I
ask
think.
this too. Forgive me for interrupting, but Zelensky's term ends next Tuesday, right? Next week sometime, his presidential term ends, and they're gonna. You think the Russians are gonna go, okay, that's it. You're not president anymore. Your term is done, and we don't recognize you, and kill him, grab him, or something.
Yeah, well, I think it'll be, I think they'll dispose of him rather quickly. And this is part of the reason the Blinken trip went into Kiev, right? And he gets up and breaks up the Gibson 335. Actually, I think it was a fake 335. It wasn't a real Gibson. And he's playing it left-handed to boot, which means it must have been his own guitar because you have to have those, you know, you have to have, they have to be tuned upside
No,
down.
he's left-handed. Another thing to hate about Blinken. He's a left-handed. Okay.
Well, he's a left-handed guitar player. That's always suspect. You know, I shouldn't say that. Hendrix was a left-hander, but he's playing this 335, and he's playing, you know, rock and roll, Rockin' in the Free World. This is the
Oh,
song he played in this Kiev bar, Rockin' in the Free World. Well, of course, you know what Blinken was doing was he was giving Ukraine a goodbye kiss. I mean, that's
yes.
what he was doing. He's giving them a goodbye kiss. Goodbye.
Like the
I love you, bye.
transgender to the guy she ran over.
Yeah, I think that's right. He's giving them a goodbye kiss, then nine knives to the back, right? And here it comes. And you know, so I think that's what's going on here. This is a goodbye kiss, and Blinken is pulling out, and the State Department. I mean, you know, if I'm Blinken, I'm thinking, you know, this mess, you know, this backed up toilet that Victoria Nuland left me. Why do I have to wear this stupid thing? You know, why do I have to come in here and tout her garbage, you know, carry out her rubbish, and you know, further her rhetoric and
That she
bounce around my
caused.
schedule in order to clean up the mess that she made over here because she had a vendetta against Russia and had permission from the Obama State Department to do the thing she did. You know, why do I have, if I'm blinking, you know, I'm coming over to get her out of my face. I don't want to see her in my office anymore. I don't want to see her in the building anymore. Get her out of here and send her a bill while you're at it, right?
Yes.
But you know, this isn't what's going to happen. But I do think Blinken was giving him the goodbye kiss because he's not going to be back in Kiev. Kiev is going to be a Russian space. Probably by the end of June, it will be Russian space. And there's going to be a complete capitulation. And when it fails, the only people left is this little tiny regime that is a group of puppets, you know, maintained by the Department of Defense, you know, and the Biden family, right? I mean, why are we in, what, why are we really in Ukraine? We're in Ukraine to further George Soros's interests. We're in Ukraine to forward, what's the name of the company that Hunter Biden and Nancy Pelosi's son and John Kerry's son and,
Rosemont Seneca.
Rosemont Seneca. You know, so we're in Ukraine. We've spent dropped almost $200 billion to further the interest of George Soros, Rosemont Seneca, and their 46 bioweapons labs. the money laundering platform that Biden has erected for his family wealth, and that the Democrats have joined, and then now the Republicans have joined, right? Oh, you left me, Scott. Anyway, I'm going to continue. So when you're talking about this, you talk about, you all right?
Yeah, there's some electronic problem. Go ahead.
Okay, so, you know, we spent $200 billion in Ukraine to further the interest of George Soros, Rosemont Seneca, Biden's money laundering.
Metabiota, otherwise known as the Global Viral Forecasting Institute, Metabiota, Biolabs, targeting Slavic DNA, 46 biolabs linked to the pathogen development of the COVID-19, AstraZeneca, and all the shit that they've invented to murder and shut down the fertility rates of an entire generation of the entire global society.
Yeah, that's what we spent $200 billion protecting. We're not interested in protecting any Ukrainians. We just let them lose 700,000 on the battlefield. You think we're interested in protecting them? We're not interested in protecting them. Go out there and die. In fact, how many American politicians said, this is the greatest investment we ever made. We get to fight Russia without us doing it. We get to have the Ukrainians do it. The Ukrainians get to die on behalf of our money laundering operation. At Lindsey Graham. It's the best money we've ever spent. Right? Yeah, I mean, here they are. This
As
is the
he screams, and we have to mention Lindsey Graham screaming and gnashing and pulling his hair out about we dropped bombs in Hiroshima and Nagasaki, and that was okay, and we ought to give them the bombs to do the same thing in Gaza.
You know, the guy is dumber than a brick. I mean, he really is dumber than a brick. I don't think he ever got in a fist fight when he was in elementary school.
Yeah, and for people who don't know, he is a sodomite. He's a homosexual. I've met the guy. I met him, and I met John Thune when I was in Washington, D.C. He's a queer as a $3 bill faggot with a dead limp fish handshake.
Well, like I say, Scott, you know, you grew up, I'm sure, but you had your share of fist fights in elementary school. Mm-hmm. What's the one thing you learned about a fist fight when you have a fist fight? You punch
it. Hit hard, hit first.
Yeah. But guess what? The other guy punches back.
Yeah.
You hit well, and
they try, but they miss.
Okay, fair enough. But I mean, you know, this is one thing you just have to calculate. You have to recognize that when you're at war, you're going to shoot and somebody's going to shoot back. Mm-hmm. That's what's going to happen. Somebody's going to shoot back. And that never happened to Lindsey Graham. So he can't see the fact that if he used a single nuke anywhere, that there's going to be nukes flying. Look, the Iranians just, and this, I find this very interesting. The Iranians demonstrated to the Israelis, we have missiles that are going to bypass all of your anti-missile systems and strike exactly the targets we want to strike, when we want to strike them. That's what we have. Then after that, and Israel, we're going to strike Iran. We're going to send in a $1.99 drone at a Radio Shack over the border and let them shoot it down. And we'll call that our revenge strike, right? They didn't do anything because they couldn't do anything. Then the Iranian leaders come out and say, oh, by the way, we forgot to mention, we have nuclear weapons. It was an Iranian leader that came out and said it earlier this week.
Yeah.
By the way, we have nuclear weapons. Did we mention that? We have nuclear weapons. So we've got missile transport systems you can't touch. We've already demonstrated that, and we have nukes on them.
And we'll get the S-500 Russian air defense missile systems if we need it, because they'll give it to us, because Russia is invested in keeping Iran alive because they're keeping themselves alive. And China. Russia, China, and Iran now represent the solid core, and Turkey and Saudi Arabia and every other country in Africa are all on their side.
Yeah, yeah. And of course, you witnessed the recent attempt again to assassinate bin Salman out of Saudi Arabia.
Yes.
Right? There was an attempt to assassinate him that was, you know, well known in the intelligence community, and bin Salman survived it again. Uh-huh. You know, there was an attempt on October 1st, 2017 to assassinate him in Las Vegas. That's what that whole shooting was, out of Sheikh bin Talal's Four Seasons Hotel, uh-huh, trying to take out bin Salman. Yeah. Well, bin Salman survived that, and he's just survived this recent assassination attempt. So you can rest assured he's feeling a lot better about rejoining SWIFT and the petrodollar. No, he's not coming back now. That's definitely off the question. Turkey, in the meantime, has taken a position. I mean, Erdogan came out and said outright, We have 1,000 Hamas fighters right here in Turkey that are in the hospital. We're taking care of them, right? And Turkey has also cut off to some extent. I mean, you know how Erdogan is. He says one thing and then slips money through the door with his other hand, right? He's doing the same thing with Israel right now. But Israel's in a situation right now where it's gone from bad to worse. They're
And it's
not a
only going to
willing
get
manage.
worse. It's only going to get worse.
Yeah, it's not going to get better. And they, and instead of then stopping, I mean, Hamas sued for peace in Egypt here last weekend.
And they were betrayed. They said, okay, a peace deal. And then the Netanyahu and the Israelis said, no, we're because Netanyahu wants to stay in power for the next 10 years. And the only way they can do that is to keep ratcheting it up and killing and thinking they can get away with it. They're not.
Well, like I say, it is going to go, they could stop the war now. They could. Let me just say this to the Jewish people in Israel. You could stop the war right now. You could. You could make the arrangements with Hamas. Hamas is willing to trade the hostages for a peace deal. It has to be on, on the table immediate, and food has to come in and so on and so forth. You could stop the war right now. But of course, just as you said, Scott, if that agreement was sealed, there'd be 200,000 people in the streets of Tel Aviv demanding the immediate resignation of Netanyahu. Get out of office and go to jail for the crimes you've committed, that you're going to be indicted for bribery, and you're going to be going to jail. So get out of office. And the people in Tel Aviv want him out, and they want him out for a whole bunch of reasons, most of which don't have anything to do with Hamas, but has rather the idea that he is going to allow the rabbis to overtake the Supreme Court in Israel and enforced the Torah on this rapidly LGBT
Talmud, the
community in Tel
Talmud.
Aviv. The Talmud. He's going to enforce the Talmud upon the nation, which means he's going to take the nation communist. And he's going to take the nation communist with him as the dictator, just like Justin Castro is doing in Canada. That's what he's going to do to Israel if he stays in office. And the only way he can encroach on that thing right now is to keep everybody in a bloodlust war mood. That has them hating like you remember in 1984 they hated Goldstein, right? And everybody threw bricks at the television screen, right? We hated Goldstein. Everybody throw bricks at the TV screen,
Who
and
can
that's
scream the loudest is the most virtuous.
I mean that's what's going on in Israel right now, right? Let's everybody scream loud with hatred at Hamas or at Palestinians in general to destroy their food because guess what? They're animals. See, they're not human beings. They're animals, they're cattle, and they're all useless eaters. See, this is the mindset, right? This is the mindset of a Bolshevik. It's the mindset of a communist. It's the mindset of a communist elitist dictator. And this is what Netanyahu is projecting in Israel. So the chances are very high that the longer this thing goes on in Israel, Israel is going to become more and more a communist dictatorship with him as the single and sole authority. Ruthlessly executing, not only executing Palestinians, but ruthlessly executing dissenting Jews. You already see it on the streets. When he decided to impose the conscription on the Orthodox community. Now, the Orthodox community, they don't pay taxes, they don't work, and they don't fight in the military. Okay? What they do is they stand around and pray and mooch money on the street from tourists. I mean, if you've ever been to Israel, you'll see it, right? The Hasids, this is what they do. So the people in Tel Aviv and Haifa, they hate him. They hate him with a purple passion. Why am I paying taxes out the nose? And how much taxes? If you import a car into Israel, you pay the full value of the car in taxes to the government to put the car on the ground in Israel. Okay? So, this is the kind of taxes they're paying in Tel Aviv, the kind of taxes they're paying in Haifa. The guys in Jerusalem, hey, I've got yidlocks, so I wear a black suit. Hey, I'm not fighting any battle. I'm going to go down here to the Kotel and pray, and then I'll pick up a few dollars on the street corner from some of those Americans, right? This is what goes on in Israel. So when he imposed conscription on the Orthodox community, all these, and if you want to talk about beta males, I mean, you talk about the limp-wristed crowd. These guys all come up. Well, we don't want to do that fighting. We want to hit the and the biggest Israeli cops smash. Smashing him in the face, slamming him down on the sidewalk, throwing the cuffs on him. Don't give me any lip, you stupid Hasid. This is what goes on in Israel. So you can rest assured that when this dictatorship arises, those people, it's not going to be thrown down on the pavement. It's going to be you're dead. And so if you think that this totalitarianism is only exacted against Palestinian people, Netanyahu will turn it against you too. He will
I
turn it
think that's
against you too.
exactly right. And I think that's what the Biden and the Democrats and Kamala Harris and all of the rest of these Democrats and rhinos are anticipating is turning the American police against the American public in this similar dictatorship. They think they can get away with it. I think it'll be a bloodbath because the American people doesn't take a lot. 3% overthrew the British in the American Revolution. 3% the American today, right? What does it say? The one percenters or whatever. A small percentage of American patriots, veterans, and other people just who are prepared to fight and die for their constitutional rights and freedoms and all that, they're not gonna tolerate it. But the Biden lunatic, delusional, left-wing, fanatics are going to try and impose what you're describing upon America. That same brutality, using the license of wokeness. And I think they're going to suspend the elections. I don't think we're going to have a safe, I don't think we're going to have an election in 2024. I think
Yeah,
they're
I
going to
agree with that.
do all sorts of things. And I'll put it to you to get your predictions.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. I think there's going to be a series of events that are going to keep climaxing here. We've got some serious events coming up this weekend, coming into Pentecost, and then following that, we're going to be seeing a whole string of events that are going to ever increase the crisis in America. That's going to increase the need for emergency. Now, they're already playing the pandemic card, the bird flu card. And this is a card I personally think the bird flu card is cover for sudden unexplained deaths that are arising from the last pandemic. And but they're going to call it bird flu. And of course, here comes the mask mandate again. They're already saying mask mandate for farm workers. It'll start with farm workers and then it'll be on airplanes next, and then it'll be everywhere you go. Mask, mask, and then there'll be non-essential people can't go to work. And of course, those are the most essential people to the economy that they're going to shut off, while the government workers, the parasites, continue to collect the check, continue to sit around and do their thing, right? And all of this is because they have to engineer a series of crises that allows them to appoint a chancellor to govern the affairs of the United States, because we have to suspend the election because there's far too much of a crisis. We have the dollar's crashed, Wall Street's crashed, we've had one or more false flags in the country, one of which could be nuclear or greater. And as a result, we have to buckle down on terrorists. We have to cut down on this. We have to do this. We have to do that. And so you're going to have a dictator who's, and all of this is all emergency switch pulling because the train is out of control and it's going off a cliff.
Well,
And
just
so
imagine, Stephen, that transgender black murdering savage that ran over, killed, and stabbed the guy. Imagine that happening a million times over with gangs, roving gangs of those sort of demoniac lunatics doing that same thing all over America or trying to.
I mean, it's not going to be safe to be outside at all, to be the things you take for granted. One of the things you take for granted is that double yellow line on the highway. You take that for granted, right? There's nothing protecting you from that oncoming car. It's just two little yellow lines on the pavement. That's one of many standards that you take for granted. You take for granted that when you pull up to an intersection, guy's going to stop at that stop sign while you're driving up to it, right? You take for granted that when you're at the store, everybody there is peaceful and unarmed. You take a lot of things for granted in American society that is held together by a standard of righteousness called common sense that belong to the writings of scripture. And those things are all going out the window. And as they do, so I think you're going to see an ever increasing rise of tyranny as we get to the final death throes of what we used to call the United States of America. We're very close to that right now. The last plunge is going to be a dictator rising, saying, "I'm in control here," like Alexander Haig, right? "I'm in control here." And this is going to be somebody who's going to pretend he's the Antichrist, who thinks he's the Antichrist, who's going to come up and claim
The
he's got
chosen
control.
one, as Trump calls himself.
Yeah, the chosen one. Well, the chosen one, I mean, look,
Narcissistic
megalomaniacism.
delusion.
Yeah, it's megalomaniacism at the highest level. And whether it's him or whether it's Barack Obama or whoever it may be, they're going to be ruling over ashes. They're not going to be ruling up. They're going to be there. What you're going to see is you're going to see a nation that dies from a cancerous tumor. And as the flesh dies, the only thing that's going to be left is the tumor. And that tumor is Washington, D.C. And they're going to do, they're going to have their hands full trying to control from Washington, D.C. to New York City. That's going to be the farthest reach of their authority. And they're going to have their hands full trying to do that. And that assumes that Russia doesn't have a Sarmat-2 destined for that very same area. And, you know, so at any rate, my predictions are this, and I think this is an important thing for people to remember. Americans that are, I think Americans are going to wake up, many Americans are going to wake up and see, okay, this social experiment thing we've been on for the last 70 years is a total complete failure and a flat out lie. And we want to return to the standards we had when my grandparents were alive or when my parents were alive. I want to go back to that. I want to have security in the fact that if I get married when I'm 18, I can buy a pickup truck and be married to the same woman for the rest of my life.
Amen.
And that my kids are going to stay under my control and that I'm going to be able to teach them the traditional values that belong to us as a people. And when we start reclaiming that as a people, we start grabbing out and claiming that, it's going to come back to us. Because you know what? When you seek after righteousness, you will find it. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Ask and you shall receive. When you seek after wickedness, it will be handed unto you. And you'll get, you know, when you decide, when one of your town council says, oh, let's have some Luciferians come in here and pray to Satan. You know, the people who allow that are so brain dead. You know, somebody else should just come up to him and just slap him across the face and say, you stupid ignoramus. You bring in a Satanist to pray. Now you're shocked when crime goes through the roof in your city. All of a sudden, you got mass rapes. You got a serial killer on the loose. You got your cops are puking at the crime scene because it's so heinous. Because you did that. Because you invited that in. How stupid do you have to be? Dumb, 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 dumb. You know. So this kind of thing. I think when Americans wake up and realize, look, what we should do is put competent people in charge instead of corrupt people taking bribes. We should put competent people in charge. We should ensure that we actually have an election instead of a facade run by a bunch of criminals. We should try to do something like this. We should close off anybody who doesn't represent us. We should close them off. We should fence our cities and put up walls and say it's going to be like this and not like that. Let us go back to the ancient path, Scott. And for those people who find the ancient path, you will find the wings of Yah covering you, the protection that is guaranteed. You know, the Church of Philadelphia, right? In the book of Revelation, it says, okay, he who opens a door that no man can shut and shuts a door that no man can open says this to you, Church of Philadelphia. You have a little strength remaining. You have guarded my word. You have not denied my name. And as a result, in the hour that of calamity that comes upon the earth, it shall pass over you. Be that person. If you're going to join a church, be in that church. Be in the Church of Philadelphia. Be that person. And in being that person, cast your worries to the wind. Cast your worries to the wind. You know, be
Cast thy burden
intelligent.
upon the Lord, for he careth for you.
Amen. Amen. And you know, put it, you know, we used to have a saying, put it at the foot of the cross, right? Put your despair, put your agony, put your pain, your grief, your mourning, your struggle, all of this, your tension, your stress, take that off your shoulder and put it at the foot of the cross.
My burden
Because you
is
know
light.
what? He is mighty to save.
Amen. Stephen Pidgeon, always good to have you. Thank you so much for joining us in Global Great Awakenings. We're about out of time. We appreciate it very much. We will just continue to pray without ceasing. We pray for a revival of our nation, pray for righteousness, and be prepared to erect those walled cities. Be prepared to go into your churches, overthrow the wicked hirelings, and reconstitute your church as the Church of Philadelphia, as the church where the living word is raised and celebrated. These are the times that try men's souls, and many are going to start falling backwards. Fear their hearts giving out for seeing what comes upon the earth, like that news broadcast. Oh, there's some people still traumatized. This is not the time to be traumatized. This is the time to gird up your loins like a man. Be prepared to go to war. Stephen Pidgeon, any last thoughts before we end? I'll give you the last 30 seconds. Go ahead.
Well, Scott, I'll tell you, as bad as it looks right now, remember that Yah is in control of this thing ultimately, and he's going to turn it for the good of the people. The convulsion's going to be very rough. For those of us, remember, he would not have destroyed Sodom if there had been 10 righteous there among us. So in your community, make sure that the work you're doing is enough to secure 10 people who are righteous around you, okay? Undertake that task. You don't have to save the whole world, but you might want to try to bring nine others into righteousness with you. If you can do that, then your community is going to be spared. Okay? So it's a small task. Get her done.
Amen. Be not unequally yoked with unbelievers.
Yeah,
Thank you so
hallelujah.
much for joining us. We will see you next time. God bless you. Good night.